Okay, good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's daily pre-market trade plan live, which, as you know, is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, a phenomenal end to the trading week last week. Want to explain, I suppose, the basic fundamentals of certainly the way that we trade is that we want to be able to analyze these markets. We want to be able to have a particular view. And that could be bullish, that could be bearish, depending on some of the news events over the course of last week. Now, we'll have a look at it and it will break it down in a little bit more detail. But off the back of last week's data, we had a specific direction in mind, a specific move that we were looking to try and capitalize on. Now, on occasion, the markets do the exact opposite of what you would expect. It's just the nature of trading financial markets. Now, it is important to, if you start to shift your directional bias, to do so for very specific reasons. So it's not just identifying what to trade, but also identifying why you're trading that market. Sometimes you have such conflicting data which makes that trade quite difficult. And that's the specific conditions that we're in right now. It's a slightly unusual type of dynamic. So let's break it down for you and explain it in a little bit more detail. We'll start, of course, with our risk warning currently up on screen. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all keeping well. Good to have you with us. Hope you had a good weekend. Good morning, guys. Right, so all profitable traders, they need to consider which markets to trade. So this links into trade selection. You know, which markets do we end up focusing our attentions on? And most importantly, why are we focusing on those specific markets? Then we're talking about the levels in which we enter and exit. So not only do we need market fundamentals to kind of support our directional bias, we also need price action to conform as well. And we keep talking about the disconnect in these markets. It's very real. It's very present. It does make life a little bit more challenging. You obviously like markets to move in line with basic fundamentals, and you want to see all the correlations come to play. There's some quite strange, quite outsized moves in certain areas and very little movement in other areas, which, again, it all goes back to what are your expectations. So you need to be able to consider risk management. So what approach are you taking? So just to name two or three elements of effective risk management. With these markets that are moving in a fashion that we're, I suppose, ultimately not overly comfortable with right now, but the number of trades you take, so trade frequency is unfortunately right now, it's really, really way down. And you could say, well, you know, how comes, with these markets, these industry markets that are just making all-time highs? Well, there's potential issues with those moves. And I'll explain a little bit more detail, but also trade and psychology. Psychology is an interesting dynamic in these markets. And what you get in the last stage of the latter stages of a bubble or a market rally is you get an influx of capital. And right now we seem to be in that little phase where there is still euphoric capital piling in to these equity markets. Now, the problem with that is it creates a bubble type dynamic, and the problem with bubbles is that they can burst very, very quickly, and things can go bad, you know, really, really sharply. So the dynamic behind trading decisions right now is really quite interesting. We've got this AI rally running through the middle of it all. So how do you price in the integration of AI and its technology and its capabilities and all that kind of stuff? How do you begin to price that in? And what impact is that likely to have in industry markets like the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ? That's a bit of an unknown. I don't think anyone can tell you with any significant... it's a very, very difficult thing to be able to quantify. Okay, so those are the considerations. And just to let you know, we consider these elements every single day in our live trade rooms with each trade we get into. And also, we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach. It'd be very easy to throw your normal strategy that works for you, you know, the vast majority of the time, out the window, and then sort of adopt a very specific strategy for these current market conditions, We prefer to choose not to do that. We want the markets to move in line with our expectations and not the other way around. We don't want to be pushed from pillar to post by these markets, and it can happen very, very easily. So it's about narrative, it's about correlation and making sure that it kind of fits together. And if so, as you know, we can be very active very, very quickly. If that's not the case, we can be very restrained and very, you know, patient if we need to be. Accurate with the levels we use. So every trade we get into, we have a specific focus on our the levels that we want to trade with. Disciplined with our capital. We're actually reducing trade size. So trade frequency is one risk management approach. Trade size is the other. So we're trading smaller amounts. So smaller percentages of our capital. If we get into a trade, we're preferring to actually reduce down that trade size in these current market conditions. And the last thing is stop losses. They're slightly wider for us now. That will change again. We'll revert back to more of a normal dynamic. But while we're in this phase, let's say, this little bubble mentality, we're going to take a bit more of a cautious approach. And that's some of the intricacies of trading financial markets, where there's some conditions in which you can go really strong and other conditions which you really struggle to do so. Okay, so let's have a quick look at this market moving news. So this is really, just want to explain kind of where we're at. And there's one reason why these markets are still doing what they're doing, which is really quite interesting. So just very, very quickly, going back to last week, we had new home sales coming in actually significantly lower than what was expected. So a bit of weakness there, and just identify the word weakness. Durable goods orders coming in way below expectation, which was already negative. We were close to zero, and now we're significantly worse off as far as durable goods orders are concerned. Again, another element of negativity. Consumer confidence next. The consumer in the US doesn't seem to be as confident as it was. Another element of negativity. Prelim GDP coming in, so growth coming in slightly less than expected. Another element of negativity. And then just to round things off quite nicely, we have inflation numbers. Okay, coming in line with expectations, but actually significantly higher than previous month. So there's a bit of an uptick in inflation. Again, you could argue that's actually a negative development. Unemployment claims coming in, again, well, only 6,000 jobs above expectations, but we're certainly, previously it was 202,000 jobs. Now we're seeing an upside, potentially a weakening jobs market, negative for the US economy. So all of these elements are feeding into this overriding negativity behind this market. It doesn't end there. Manufacturing in the US is coming in worse than expected, and the consumer sentiment number coming in below expectations, and manufacturing prices actually coming in again lower than expected. So all of these things have varying degrees of negativity on these financial markets. And the net result was actually an outsized rally across your global industry markets. We saw a really strong rally in gold. The gold trade is a bit of a puzzle that we need to try to work out. We were asking on Friday, you know, why is gold rallying? It's very difficult for us to put an answer to that, because gold's more likely to rally. Okay, if there's weakness in the dollar, you might get a bit of a move, but generally capital piles into gold because of some fear and anxiety. Well, you can't have risk on and risk off at the same time. So that doesn't make too much sense. We've got bond yields up at, we still have inverted bond yields. If you just look at the 2 and 10 year as a bit of a sample, they're rolling off their highs, but we're still up at elevated levels. And again, that element of disconnect is very real. So it's giving these markets a short-term bit of boost to the upside, but bond yields are still suggesting to us that there is increased risk building into the pipeline. So the question is, with our analysis, looking at some of the negative elements, it means that the underpinning data seems to be worsening. Let's just call that. So if economic data is worsening, why is it we're seeing these equity markets rallying at all-time highs? And this is what creates a bit of a tough dynamic, because two things are happening. Either there is a continual euphoric response to this AI rally that underpins the performance of NVIDIA. Is just a good example from, what was it, 2 weeks ago from this rally in here. We're seeing further upside repricing as far as AI is concerned. So that's a difficult one to be able to gauge. And really, you would want to be looking at corporate earnings for that. Now, there seems to be something else that seems to be driving this market. And it seems to be this belief that negative news is good news for markets. It's a dynamic that we've been seeing over the last year. Bad news is good news. So why is worsening economic data good news for these equity markets? The reason is that your global capital seems to be relatively confident that as the data starts to weaken and get worse, that the Fed will come to the rescue. They'll start to lower rates aggressively. They'll start to perhaps print more money if necessary, depending on, there's a banking crisis in the pipeline. We'll talk about that during the next session. So all of these features means that we can still put our money to work because we know that the Fed are going to step in. The question is, will the Fed step in? We're not so sure this time around. Now, time will tell, and that's why it's going to be quite important to listen to what these central bankers are saying. Difficulty is they're very good at changing their mind and suggest, we need to keep rates higher for longer because of, higher inflation potentially bouncing back, to within a few days or a week or two later, turning around to the markets and saying, actually, we're going to start cutting, which is what Jerome Powell did in December, and reaffirming that going into the new year. So a bit of a strange dynamic. We're in this pretty significant rally. We're up at these higher levels. What we struggle to do is buy at all-time highs. So that's the difficulty behind these markets. We kind of want some sort of corrective move. And you can see that at each and every stage, the vast majority of the time, the corrective move is very shallow. It's very short-lived. And then there seems to be this unerring rally to the upside. Now, all things considered, recessionary environment is not a good place for equities and for stocks. And we know that this rally is driven by six or seven massive large cap tech stocks in the US. Outside of that, okay, conditions are maybe slightly improving. Maybe it's dragging everything with it, but still nowhere near the level of performance that we're seeing in these equity markets. So again, there's elements of concern with these markets. So this is really the fundamental reason why our own strategy and approach has been tempered. And actually, a couple of trades last week going into a lot of that negative news was expecting a bit of softening across these equity markets. And we saw the exact opposite. So sometimes you got to hold your hands up and say, you do your analysis, you have your directional bias, you see the flow of capital, and two and two should add up to four. Well, at the minute, two and two is adding up to five. And that's what's creating a bit of a strange dynamic for us. Now, these dynamics will change and shift and evolve because they always do. We're going through a bit of a tough trading dynamic at the minute, but there's important lessons to be learned from this. And this is really why we have our live trade rooms the way that we do, is we want to learn and understand the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you'll see what happens to a market which acts and behaves like a bubble dynamic, with still, for now, more capital continuing to pile into it. You'll see the net impact of something like this over the coming weeks and months, and it's going to be really fascinating to see how these markets react to further negative data, if that's what comes in. What we seem to be hearing an awful lot is we're ignoring this piece of data and we're going to look through it because actually, you know, everything is looking great at the other side. Well, we should wait and see. We made a decision at the end of the year that we would be net bulls, i.e. looking for buying opportunities in these markets, unless the data started to change. Now, the problem we have is the data is actively changing and we can see it changing. Except you look at these equity markets and they are at all-time highs. Yet again, I think we're pretty close to all-time highs once more. So we've got a tough dynamic, not really getting the same view through the NASDAQ. As you can see, we're at all-time highs to the S&P, NASDAQ, and the Dow Jones still needs to do a bit of catching up. But then you look at these other equity markets, which are currently in recession, like the German economy is in recession. Equity markets are all-time highs. The Japanese economy in a technical recession, equity markets at all-time highs, makes it for a bit of a challenging dynamic for sure. Commodities, like this outside rally is so impressive, and it's still a pullback off the lows, don't forget. And this is the major problem around this kind of level here. And want to do a little bit more digging in terms of what's really driving this gold move. Is it this caution and fear and anxiety feeding through? Well, that's not the case if you look at the S&P 500, but it is the case if you look at gold. So a bit of a tough one. We can certainly technically look at the 2088 as a potential buy trade in gold. It's just purely momentum. So we'll have a look at gold. But the 2088, are we really going to be buying up at these levels? It's a tough trade. And if we buy gold, can we buy the S&P? We really don't like markets like this because price action is not moving in a way in which we would expect. So let's have a look at the dollar. Let's go to the dollar first. So clear dollar weakness against the euro and the British pound. A bit of strength against the yen. So just we're seeing a new retracement in these yen pairs because, again, these central bankers, we had one of the BOJ members come out last week, if you remember, and said that, you know, the BOJ will be looking to loosen those conditions, start pushing rates higher potentially. And then Corona came out the very next day and said, no, we're still sticking to current policy. And then you get this very choppy V-shape move to the downside, followed by a very significant rally again. So the markets are being pushed around by these central bankers as well. Dollar weakness against the euro and the pound, dollar strength against the yen. The Swiss franc is looking like it's we've been in a bit of a sideways pattern for quite some time now. Strength against the CAD, weakness against the dollar and weakness Aussie dollar, and a bit of strength against the New Zealand dollar. So we actually have a dollar which is in between two pillars. It's weaker against the euro and the pound, and it's stronger against the New Zealand, the CAD, and the yen. So we've got a distinct lack of clarity as far as the dollar is concerned. And the yen is just yen weakness, but for how long? Because if the BOJ starts to intervene, we've been saying this for a little while, that there is big moves in the yen when the timing is right. Now the timing doesn't seem to be right for that trade. And we've got a puzzling rally in gold. Maybe we'll get a bit of analysis on that this today, which would be really quite useful. So we can, from a trade plan perspective, we can expect further upside for the equities. Trading it is going to be a different decision. On Friday, we were looking, as you can see currently up on screen, we had, again, this continuing mixed market condition. So we like to just encapsulate it in a short summary. So mixed market conditions, be careful of what you're looking to do. And we had a choice between either the dollar strengthening, which is the risk off trade, or the US indices strengthening, which is the risk on trade. And by far, the risk on trade overwhelmed everything else out there for reasons that we really struggled to trade. So we've been through phases like this many, many times before, as many of you that have been with us for a while know and understand. We're currently going through this particular dynamic right now. This dynamic will change. It's just a case of when. So it's creating a difficult dynamic for us. So again, market summary is still quite mixed. We've got this strange blend between risk on and risk off sort of narrative sitting in these markets. And, you know, as they go higher, everyone's going, oh, well, it's AI. Well, but it's AI up at really expensive, really elevated levels. Bit of a problem for us to be able to kind of run with that dynamic, because you're at all-time highs. You don't really have any other technical data to really work with to any great extent. And as we've explained, a lot of the underpinning data seems to be weakening in the US, except there is no acknowledgement whatsoever from these markets as a result of that weakening data, probably because they expect the Fed that will come to the rescue. That's a tough decision to make, we would anticipate, this time around. Okay, so mixed market conditions then. Potential dollar strength doesn't really exist. We had such a strong rally in the US indices. It's just indices strength. It's really difficult to be able to buy the indices and buy the buy gold. Gold buy above 2088. It's just purely a momentum trade. Yeah. And we got this Monday morning sort of session as well, which is let me post this into the chat box for you. Sorry, bear with me a second. I didn't do that properly. So we've got purely a momentum trade in gold and out and out momentum in the indices as well. And that's what we can look for. So look, I just posted that there into the chat box for you guys. So feel free to take that away if you need. We got this Monday morning sort of market dynamic. So we want to just identify where we're likely to get the best opportunities. We can pretty much throw our kind of narratives out the window at the minute, because none of them are really featuring to any great extent. So the negative economic data we would expect would have a risk off impact on these markets, with indices rolling over to the downside with a strengthening dollar. But that's completely null and void. You've got this short-term, really short-term dynamic with US bond yields, which are softening a little bit, but they're much higher than I think the equity markets would suggest. And commodities, just the last one, just crude oil. Ah, the crude oil market's gone. Okay, where has that gone? All right. Just want to just touch upon crude oil. There we go. Let's drag that all the way over. Right. So crude oil. We did speak, if this market got above the $80, we'd be very interested. As we closed out the Friday night, that's not a time to really be getting into crude oil. Anything could happen over the weekend with conflict, obviously, in the Middle East. There seems to be some sort of ceasefire in play as well. So supply cuts are still intact as far as the OPEC are concerned, I think until the middle of this year. So we still have that potential sort of further upside in the pipeline, but we'll watch it carefully. So sorry, guys, this has run on a little bit longer than anticipated, I think for good reason. If there's any questions, feel free to post them into the chat box. And look, thanks very much for joining us as always. If you are interested in learning how to trade, you can access one of our discounted live trading and education bundles on the website. It just starts from $59 per calendar month. For more information, just go to livetraderoom.com, and any questions, feel free to get back to us through our website. So on that note, we'll switch rooms now. So those of you that can join us for trading the European session, we'll be live now in just a few seconds. So on that note, thanks for joining us. Take care and have a good day. Take care. Bye-bye.